Amen. Who loves the Lord? Amen, amen. So good. Well, we're going to read the word. Stay standing right now. If you want to grab your Bibles, we are going to get into it. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 9. So if you want to follow along with your physical Bible or the phone, it's going to be on the screen as well. We're going to get into the word of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 to 22. This is the story of Noah. It says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God." Someone say close fellowship. "Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, 'I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar, inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper.'" And then if we jump to verse 22, it says, "So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him." Tonight, I want to speak a message to you. The title of my message is Just Build the Boat. Turn to someone next to you and say, "Just build the boat." Just build the boat. Come on, can we pray? God, we just thank you for how you're already moving and speaking here tonight, Father. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your word, Holy Spirit. Lord, for people here tonight coming from all different backgrounds, all different situations, Father, all different walks of life, Father, I pray that tonight as we read your word, your Holy Spirit would speak to us, convict us, encourage us, God. Lord, that we'd step out of this place feeling more equipped to be able to take on the rest of the year, more equipped to be able to walk in the purpose that you've given us, God. Lord, I just pray, speak to us in our hearts, for our situations, Father, tonight. And we just pray that you'd be glorified through all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. 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 You can take your seats, and thank you, worship team. So good. You know, I was getting ready just this afternoon, and this is something that's happened many times, not me getting ready, but I was getting ready, and Danielle is the talker in our house. And it's a good thing because if Danielle wasn't talking, then our house would be quite quiet. Like, you know, you have to have someone in the relationship who is more of the talker, and then the other person's more of a listener. I know some relationships where they're both talkers. I don't know if I know any relationships where they're both listeners. Is anyone like a double listener relationship? Jack, no, you're not. And so, yeah, it's Danielle. It's great. I love listening, and she loves talking. But we were having a conversation this afternoon as I was getting ready, and as we were having this conversation, I just realized that I was kind of getting ready, and I just like was walking around in circles. Have you ever been doing something, and then you just kind of like clock it in your mind that you're like, I haven't actually achieved anything for the past 5 minutes. I've just been walking around aimlessly talking. So I had to say to Danielle, "Danielle, can we just pause this conversation? I just need to actually figure out, like, you know, I need to get ready for tonight." And so we paused the conversation. It's similar to, you know, the classic, anyone ever turn the music down as you're driving to be able to, like, get better directions? Has anyone ever done that? I've done that before, and it's too loud. It's like, oh, there's too much going on. It's because when there's something we have to focus on, when you want to focus on something, it's easier if there's only ever one thing to focus on, whether it's, you know, getting ready, whether it is, you know, looking for directions. When you only have one thing to focus on, it is a lot easier. But life isn't like that. Life is very, very rarely just one thing that we focus on. You know, we have jobs, we've got university, school, families, relationships, church, hobbies, all these different things. And there's so many things going on in our life, important things, but at the same time, we want to live a life of impact for God. We want to live a life of purpose, the purpose that God has given us. But a lot of the time, and I know there'll be lots of people in this room tonight where a lot of the time, instead of living that life of purpose and really feel like we're kicking goals, a lot of time we're just trying to stay afloat. We're just trying to keep our head above water. And my hope that is that through this message, through the word of God tonight, we can just quiet the noise for a moment and bring some clarity and simplify what God has called us to do so that as we go into our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, we have a bit more clarity, a bit more direction of, hey, I know there's still a lot of noise going on, but at least I know what I'm doing. And so if we look at this passage, Genesis chapter 6, we find the world in a bad place, like a really bad, bad place. God has looked at the world and he said, there is so much evil and violence going on, I'm just going to wipe them all out. It's so bad that God's like, let's just do a factory reset and we're going to start again. But it says that Noah, he had a close relationship with God. He had close fellowship and walked with God. And so he found favor with him. And so God decides that, all right, I'm going to save Noah. I'm going to get him to build this boat. And he gives them the instructions to build the ark. He gives them the instructions of how to build it, the animals that are going to come on board. And we could really break this whole passage and even this whole message down into four words. You ready? If you just want to write this down and then not listen for the rest of the message, here are the four words. The four words are, God spoke, Noah obeyed. Those are the four words. God spoke, Noah obeyed. Say it with me. God spoke, Noah obeyed. That's really the whole thing. God gave the instruction, and then it says that Noah did it exactly the way that God had called him to do it. And just like Noah, we, you and I, are called to a life of steady, faithful, day-by-day obedience. You know, Noah didn't need another word from God or immediate results to know that he was on the right track. He simply got up each day, he gathered his tools, he got everything that he needed, and went and built the boat, went and built the ark that God had told him to. And in our life, it's the same way. God's purpose unfolds not in a rush of instant results like we'd sometimes like it, but it's in the quiet, consistent faithfulness and obedience of doing what God has asked us to do that we see God's glory revealed. And so tonight, I want us, as we dive into this word, to commit to daily making the choice to just build the boat. Just build the boat. Building the boat means hearing the word of God and doing it. What has God said? I'm going to go do it. That is building the boat. It's keeping it simple. And it sounds simple, but the reality is it can actually be difficult. Like, I wish it was that simple of just get up each day and just build a boat. Just make it that simple. Sometimes I wish I was just building a boat. But it can be quite hard. It can be difficult. It can be tiring. It can be painful. And it can be lonely. Sometimes walking out the will of God isn't always easy. But a life of faith is moving forward, even when it's hard, even when it's painful, even when it's lonely, and even when you can't see the finish line. It's about taking that next step. And so if you're taking notes tonight, I've just got 3 points that I want to bring out of this passage about building the boat and about how we're living a life of daily faith and moving forward. Point number one is this. Point number one is, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. You know, all of us know that we live in an instant gratification culture where we get it now, I want it now, I have it right now in this second. If I don't get it today, I don't want it. And I'm talking about myself here. I have a Amazon Prime membership, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this story, which is the other day I needed to buy a charger. I needed to buy a charger for this thing. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to go on Amazon. I looked on Amazon. I found a good one. But it said it was going to be delivered in like 2 weeks or something. And I'm like, 2 weeks? If I don't get it tomorrow or like in the next 2 days, I don't want it. So I didn't order it because I'm like, that's way too late to wait. And so I'm like, I didn't order it. And then guess what? That was 3 weeks ago and I still haven't ordered it. And so if I had have ordered it, I would have it by now, but I still haven't, because we live in such an instant gratification culture that if we can't have it now, we don't want it. If we can't have results today, then it's not worth it. But when you read the Bible, you see that God doesn't work like Amazon Prime. God uses faithful, small steps to build something big. He uses faithful small steps to build something big. Noah didn't start with the ark. God didn't say, okay, this is what you're going to build and boom, I'm going to drop it out of heaven. He started with some wood. He started with some nails, I don't know, stuff like that. He started with some tar and some tools and he got started small. It was a massive boat, but it started small. And so don't be afraid of it. You know, we see all throughout the Bible, David worked faithfully as an unseen shepherd before he was king. He was doing the unseen, small, monotonous things before he was crowned king. God gave Joseph a dream of ruling over people, but who knows that Joseph had to get very small before he became big. He actually, like, he got this dream of being up here, and then God took him down here into the pit, into jail, all these different places. But you start small, take the small steps, and then God will make it big. You know, even if God has called you to do something big, it always starts small. Luke 16, verse 10 says, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities." You know, if Noah was faithful, if Noah was never faithful in gathering the materials, then he never would have been able to build the boat. If Noah wasn't willing to do the simple things, then he never would have got the result. So don't fall into the trap of instant gratification. Maybe you're stuck in a job that doesn't feel like your calling. Maybe you're like, God has called me to be this, but I'm working in this retail job right now. I'm working in a cafe or hospitality or admin role right now. I'm working in a warehouse, but God has called me something greater. Let me tell you that that role and that job you're in is a small step to where God has called you. Be faithful in that. Faithfulness in those jobs is what prepares you for the leadership and for the calling that God has given you later. Be the person who shows up on time, who serves with excellence, even when no one's watching, because that's when God builds your character. And let me tell you, when you're in your job, you know, whether it's a job you love or you hate, when you're doing things with excellence and character, yeah, maybe the bosses don't see it, but God sees it. God sees it. We just saw in this passage, Luke 16, it says, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. So God is seeing, hey, he's testing. Are you faithful in where I have you now? Can I trust you in the bigger job? Can I trust you to run the business? Can I trust you to pastor that church? Can I trust you with the little things? Or do you only want the big thing? Are you only in it for the big title? Are you only in it for the corner office? Or can I trust you with the small things? You know, if you can't be trusted to clean the coffee machine or clean the toilet, how can God trust you to run the business? Sometimes I see people bouncing from job to job and they're always like, oh, it just wasn't for me, or they didn't appreciate me, or it wasn't my calling. But if you're just bouncing from one thing to another, you're never going to move upwards. You're just going to stay on this steady kind of plateau, maybe even go down. You got to find something small, commit to it, and grow in it. You know, for the single people here tonight, faithfulness in your friendships actually affects your future relationships. If your friendships are toxic and just filled with gossip, or, you know, if you talk with one of your friends about your other friend, or if you lie to your friends, or if you're not faithful to your friends, then that actually affects what your future relationships will be like. Your friendships right now affect your future marriage and relationships. The other thing is, maybe some of you need to stop looking for your right person and take some small steps within yourself. Take small steps of building up, you know, financial wisdom. Take small steps of, you know, getting your life in line with God. Take the steps in yourself first before you look for the right person in your life. Because the small steps you take today, tomorrow, the next day are going to set you up for your future. So don't despise the small beginnings. Now, Zechariah 4 verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." I love that picture. I love that picture that when someone starts something, God is excited. He rejoices to see that work begin. He's excited to do that, to see you taking the small steps. And so know that God isn't just in the end. He's not just in the product. But as you begin, God is excited in the beginning as well. He's just as present at the beginning than at the end. And so when you're feeling small or insignificant or unseen, you know, if you're a youth leader and you feel like, man, Pastor Jack doesn't see all the good things I do, I should be running this joint. Keep serving faithfully. Let me give you a good tip. If you're a youth leader and you serve hard, you have to actually serve hard. But if you just outlast everyone, you're going to get some kind of role probably. But you have to also serve hard. You can't just be the person that sticks around and just like lingers, you know. Serve hard and outlast everyone. And, you know, that's how I became youth pastor, Pastor Joe, isn't it? I think that's how I got the role. No, I'm just joking. He shook his head at me. That wasn't good. Number two. Everyone say number two. So number one was don't despise small beginnings. Number two is keep showing up. Keep showing up. You know what Noah did? He kept showing up. We don't know exactly how long it took to build the ark, but we do know that it was most likely decades. Some people say 100 years, some people say 125. You know, there's a lot of people that say it was max 75 years, all these things. We know that it was years, a long, long time to keep showing up. That means Noah woke up day after day, he would get in there, he would be working or he'd be telling people to work, and he would be working to build his ark. It would have taken a very, very long time, probably a lot longer than a lot of us would be willing to work at something without even seeing. He'd never even seen rain before. He hadn't seen it. He was working towards something that he's like, God, I don't quite understand this. But he had a mentality of, I'm just going to keep showing up. We need to have a mentality of, I'm just going to keep showing up even when it doesn't make sense. You know, this is the part where it can get hard. Because while small beginnings, you know, it's unseen, there is something exciting about the start of something new. You know, we all do get a little bit excited. I remember when I was younger, we were at an RSPCA and they had all the animals there. Anyone love like just like seeing, I don't know, Danielle the other night was sending me dogs from the RSPCA. And we definitely can't have a dog at the place we're at now. But they were very cute though. They were very, very cute. I think But I was at the RSPCA and we saw this cat. I don't even know. I'm not even like the biggest cat lover. I don't hate them, but I just like really wanted a cat at this point. And so we found this, there was this white cat. It kind of like drooled a little bit. I found it and I'm like, Mom and Dad, can I please have this cat? Can I please have this cat? And if anyone's a parent in here who's got a pet before, we had the classic conversation of, okay, if we get this cat, it's going to be your responsibility. You're going to have to feed it. You're going to have to, you know, make sure it has water. You're going to have to change the kitty litter. Any parents had that conversation? Yep. Now, let me tell you, in that moment, I was saying, yes, Mom and Dad, I will do that daily. I'll make sure the food is always topped up. As soon as that cat does its business in the kitty litter, I'm going to run and I'm going to scoop it up and make sure that that is clean. You won't ever smell it once, Mom and Dad. In that moment, I was so excited. I was willing to do anything. But any of those parents that raise their hands know that even if they're committed early on, it doesn't take long for the kitty litter to get a bit full, for the cat, for them to have to remind the kids, hey, make sure you're feeding the cat, you know, make sure you're looking after it. Because at the start, it's very, very exciting. It's something new. It's something good. You know, it's like the start of a fitness journey at the start of a year. It's so excited. It's so exciting, but like 3 months in when you're waking up at 5:30 a.m. and the alarm goes off and you're like, oh, this isn't as exciting anymore. I don't know if I want to keep doing this. You know, it's easy to start a new relationship. There's exciting. There's feelings exploding here, there, and everywhere. And they're just the most beautiful person you've ever met in your life. And they could never do anything wrong. They're perfect. But then, like, you know, you get a few months into it, and all of a sudden that one thing that they do starts to annoy you a little bit. And then all of a sudden you have to sacrifice something for them. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Not you, darling. You are perfect. Starting new things is, you know, it's fun. It can be the same thing with our calling and our purpose in God. We can come to Summit. We can come to youth camp. We can come to conferences. And we have this encounter with God. And it's just like, oh, God, I will give my whole life for you. God, I surrender it all. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And he gives you this word. He's like, this is what you're going to do. You know, maybe even the person from stage gave you a prophetic word, which is like bonus points. And then so you're there and you're like, I've got my call. You go into that next week. But then it's only a matter of weeks. It's only a matter of months before that high that you're on, the something new, is all of a sudden a lot harder to actually follow through. And it's not easy to keep showing up when it's not new and exciting again. You know, in the passage that we read in Genesis, it says that God instructs Noah how to build a boat. He gives him all the instructions. And then verse 22 says, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Do you know the next thing we read? The next thing, it goes to chapter 7. And then the next thing we read is the boat is finished. It doesn't, you know, it just jumps there. It doesn't say that God checked in with Noah halfway through. It doesn't say that he said, oh, good job, buddy. You're halfway. You're doing a great job. You know, it doesn't say he gave him a 10-year check-in and like, here's a nice little plaque, 10 years in. Good job, Noah. It doesn't say that Noah went to a conference and you really had an encounter with God and you're like, oh, that's right. I meant to build a boat. Let me get back to that. No, it just says that God spoke to him and the next thing, and he did it exactly the way he called him, and he just built the boat. I'm all for conferences. I'm all for reminders. I've had to have reminders in moments in presence of God. I'm like, yeah, God, I'm going to get back on track. But sometimes we just have to build the boat. We just have to do what God has told us to do. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. That is the key. If you like, that is what holds up that whole verse. If we don't give up, if we keep showing up. And the thing about continuing to show up is some days you're going to show up and you're going to be on fire. Some days you're going to show up and you're going to be like, I am crushing this. I am the man and woman of God. This is what God has put me on this planet to do. Sometimes showing up literally just means getting out of bed, putting your clothes on and just taking the step, just putting one foot in front of the other. Showing up doesn't always mean operating at 100% capacity. It just means taking the small steps, doing what God has told you to do. You can't tell me there was days that Noah was there being like, what am I doing here? Like, you know, this is so hard. I've got my 16th splinter and I just hate this. But he kept showing up. We know that because he finished the boat. He finished it. So I want to say to all those tonight, that if you feel like giving up, or if you have given up on what God has called you to do, make a choice tonight. Make a choice tomorrow morning. I'm gonna put my boots back on and I'm gonna keep showing up. I'm gonna show up again. If you've given up, don't worry. Just show up tomorrow. Just get back on the bike and show up tomorrow. Take the small steps to just build the boat that God has given you. Amen? We're gonna keep showing up. If I can have the band on stage. So my first point was don't despise small beginnings. Second point was keep showing up. And then my third point, my last point tonight, is that God fills what we build. God fills what we build. So there's a passage in 2 Kings 3, verse 16 to 20, and it says this. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. God is telling him, make the valley full of ditches. Dig some holes, dig some ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter, so that in the sight of the Lord, he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. And then if we skip forward to verse 20, it says, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom and the land was filled with water. We see in this story that God delivers a word to his people and he says, go dig the ditches in the valley. Go dig the ditches. Get your shovels out, get your tools out and go dig the ditches. You're not even going to see wind or rain. I'll provide the water. We can take from this as we see this. God is just saying, hey, just go pick up your shovel. Just go get out into the valley. Do the hard work. I'll provide the water. I'll provide the Spirit. Don't worry about that part. You just take care of your part. You know, last Sunday night, we heard testimonies. It was amazing from three different people. One of those testimonies was from Talita about our uni ministry that we've started this year. And it's been amazing. It's been a great journey. But the thing with this uni ministry is that if we had have, you know, we brought Kai and we brought Talita onto staff, if we had have just said to them, Kai and Talita, we just want to spend you to spend all your hours just praying for, you know, USC down the road. Just pray the whole time. That's all we want you to do. Amazing. Prayer is so powerful and great. But if we never stepped foot on campus, then we wouldn't have been taking any room or creating any room for God to fill. You know, we were taking steps that we knew that other people had tried in the past and it failed. We knew that other people had tried to start Christian clubs in that university and they'd been turned down. They'd said, no, we don't need another Christian club. We don't need any other people, Christians coming in. But we're like, no, we're going to try again. And so we took the steps. We made sure we did our due diligence and we did it well and we prepared it and we put it forward. I was putting it forward half expecting to be knocked back. And then they got back to us. They said they accepted that. They accepted us in as a Christian club. And even to the point where they were like, no, we want you to promote your club as a Christian club. Like, we want you to say that you are a Christian club. Even better. We built great relationship with them. We booked rooms in the university, not even knowing if people were going to show up or not. And they did, praise God, because there was free food there and uni students love free food. You know, we were Talita and Kai and the team were going in there week after week. Uni these students were sacrificing their Tuesday afternoons and their Thursday afternoons to be able to meet the uni students and love on them with the love of Jesus. And there was sacrifice and there were steps of faith, but it was all to create space so that God could fill it. That's what we're trying to do on that campus. We're trying to create a space that God can come and pour out His presence and His Spirit so that uni students can come to know the name of Jesus. And just a little plug for it. I feel like we're just getting started. I feel like this year was a setup. We had someone give their life to Jesus this year, and there's a bit of a holy discontent in me. I'm so happy that someone gave their life to Jesus, but I'm like, come on, God, there's so many more who need to know Jesus. And so if you're at USC next year, or if you just want to help out, come and talk to me, because we are creating space on that campus for God to come and move. But if we never booked the rooms, if we never applied where we knew other people had been turned away, if we never took the step of faith, then we wouldn't have given God space to fill. And so we need to take a step. We need to do what we can do so that God can do what He can do. You know, you don't want to do it alone. You don't want to do it in your own strength. You know, Noah could have built a great boat, but if God didn't send the rain, it would have been useless. It would have just sat there. And so maybe you're here tonight and you're building something. Maybe you're a great businessman or businesswoman, or maybe you're doing something great, but you realize you've left God out of it. You haven't invited Him in. In Psalms 37 verse 5, it says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Don't miss out on the help that God has for you. Don't miss out on the Spirit of God in what you are doing. You know, as we come to a close tonight, once again, I just want to break it down to these things, the four words. God spoke, Noah obeyed. In our lives, let God speak and then you obey. What has God said to you? Are you obeying? Are you walking in the call of God in your life? And maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, God's never spoke to me. I've never received a word from God. Well, we're going to open the altars in a second. And if you've never received a word from God, I want to invite you forward and believe that God is going to speak to you, whether straight to you or whether someone's going to come and give you a prophecy. I believe that God is going to speak tonight. But the other thing is that even if God hasn't given you your own specific personal word, we have the word of God, the Bible. God speaks to us through the Bible. Here's some ways that we can just build the boat day after day. We can love God and love others. Just show up. Just love the people in your workplace. We can go into all the world and make disciples. Come on, we can share the love of Jesus with those around us. That's showing up. It doesn't just have to be in our careers or in our callings. These things, show up, take the small steps, keep going, leading your home and your family. What a great thing. What an important purpose to keep showing up. Parents in this room, keep showing up for your kids. Keep showing up. Take the small steps. That is a calling that God has for our lives. And there is so much more in the Word of God. So if you haven't received it, we're going to open up the altar if you need a word. But also find the Word of God. Find those directions in the Word of God. You know, can we all stand to our feet right now? Before we open up the altar, I want to give an opportunity to anyone who hasn't received Jesus into their hearts, who hasn't said yes to Him. You know, Noah obeyed God for the salvation of his family so that his family would be saved through the ark. But Jesus obeyed unto death for our salvation through the cross. And so Jesus dying on the cross has made a way for us to have relationship with Him and live eternally with Him. And so with every eye closed across this place, if you want to accept the free gift of salvation in this place, if you want to accept the gift of relationship with Jesus and make Him Lord of your life, with every eye closed across this place, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands right now. If you want that, just raise your hand right now. I'm just going to pray with you. I just want to pray with you and just pray a simple prayer to make Jesus Lord of your life. With every eye closed, if that's you, would you just raise your hand right now? Is there anyone here who wants to say yes to Jesus? I see that hand. That's awesome. That's so good. You can put your hand down on the side there. That's amazing. Is there anyone else? As I just wait a little bit longer. Come on, church, can we pray this together? Repeat after me. And if you're that person that raised your hand, if you want to make that decision, let's really pray this from our heart. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my heart. and I give you my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Would you forgive me as I make you Lord of my life? I thank you that you gave your life on the cross, and I commit tonight to live for you for the rest of my life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we celebrate that one person who raised their hands? So good. So good.